The KGEZ Good Morning Show with Robin Mitchell and John Hendricks, and we welcome Kalispell City Council member and candidate for re-election, Ryan Hunter.
Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning.
Good to
How
have
are you
here
guys?
Good, yeah. Good. So you got 4 years in the council now. Give us some of your impressions about the gig.
You know, it's been interesting. It's been challenging at times. It can be a lot of work, but it's been rewarding. I really appreciate the opportunity to be able to participate in the big decisions in our community about the direction of our community, and really feel honored to be able to represent Ward 3 on the City Council. Just communicating with my constituents and bringing some of those that feedback and ideas back to the council and those decision-making processes.
Ward 3 is essentially the east side of Kalispell?
No, it's pretty much the downtown area. So it's okay. From Center Street on the north end, roughly, to 10th Street on the south end.
Okay.
And then east boundary of the city to the west boundary of the city.
Oh, so, okay. So yeah. It's the whole that whole middle portion of the city.
Yeah.
Yeah. I see your signs all over my old stomping grounds over there by Hedges. So.
Yeah, well, they're working then. That's good.
So if you get another 4 years, what would you like to accomplish?
You know, in my time on council, I've really felt that I've brought a unique alternative perspective to the city council and really a lot of ideas, new ideas. And I want to continue to be able to do that, to offer that different, unique perspective to the city council. I continue to push really what I see as the most important issue facing our community, which is addressing the affordable housing crisis and the homeless crisis. So that will be top of my priority. As it has been. And then also, you know, my background is in planning. And so I'd like to see, you know, development that is pedestrian friendly, that's bike friendly, that's compact, so we can walk to the places we want to go if we choose to. And we limit that sprawl on the outskirts of our city.
We're finally getting used to having the Parkline Trail, but there's not a lot to it yet.
Right, yeah. So we voted to finalize and approve that trail, and I think it was a great plan, and I'm excited to see how the community develops around the trail. We're seeing some development along the trail, and that's great infill development. And I think over time, we'll continue to see more development along it. And also, it'll get more use. I know there's some folks who have expressed concern about the trail and some of the activity along there, and some folks feel a little unsafe. But as it gets more use, when we get more development, I think that will help address and alleviate some of those concerns.
Now, I was walking down to the post office down 3rd Street and looking over at the parking lot there at 3rd and Main, and that is going to become a major hotel for the area. Mm-hmm. And I was just, my mind was just flying there and looking around saying, this is going to completely change downtown.
Yeah, that's right. You know, and so we'll see as that gets developed. It'll be a big new development. It will change downtown. You know, that's one of the areas where I did have some disagreement with the majority of the council. I certainly think, you know, a hotel downtown is great for business activity but the way that happened, I voted against the development agreements for the hotel and the associated parking structure because I felt that it involved kind of a basically a public subsidy of private development that I wasn't comfortable with. And what happened there was both those properties are city-owned properties that we transferred to the developer for free of cost, essentially. So that was one subsidy. And then the parking structure that's going to go in, we agreed to compensate the developer for the full cost of the construction of that. But half of the parking units, parking places in the parking structure are going to be available to the hotel for 50-year lease, which to me is private parking. And so if he gets 50-year lease for parking for his hotel, he should pay half the cost because of essentially half the parking spaces in that parking structure. So the subsidy was about to the tune of about $3 million for that. And I just felt it was unnecessary. And so I did oppose that development agreement.
But now that it's, even though they went against you, you're going to support what happens next?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, the vote didn't go my way on it in terms of how it went down. But now that it's done, I'm eager to see it developed and see how it does. And hopefully it really helps downtown.
Well, now you make $5,000 a year as a council member. You get $900 for a stipend, you got to supplement that somehow, Ryan. What do you do for a day job?
Yeah, so my full-time work is with Flathead Land Trust, and I know you've had my colleagues Paul and Laura in here a number of times. Yeah, and so Flathead Land Trust is a nonprofit organization. We work to conserve our open space, farm, and forest lands out in the county. We work with landowners to enter into volunteer legal agreements that basically protects those properties from subdivision development. And so people hear that, they sometimes wonder, because I am active in, you know, approving some of the subdivisions around town, because I believe we have a shortage of housing and we need to increase our housing supply. You know, so people wonder about that. And for me, you know, that they're very much in line, because I want to see, if I see, you know, we're going to have development, and we have to have development, that as much of that is compact as possible, it's in the urban areas, so that we sprawl less and protect that open space out in the outskirts of our community, to preserve it as farmland and open space land.
How much density in downtown Kalispell are you willing to accept?
You know, it's not there. There's not, I guess, I don't know how to put it in terms of numbers or how to describe it, but I do want to see infill development. I want to see compact development. I do like what we're seeing at the grain silos in terms of apartment units. Obviously, you know, there's a height issue. We don't want skyscrapers in our community. We're still a small town. We want to stay that way. And but for me, the more housing units we get built in a compact way, one, that's going to put downward pressure on prices, which is tied to our homeless situation as well. And two, it does limit the amount of sprawl that we're going to see in the gobbling up of our open space lands on the edges of our community.
Well, the historic downtown Kalispell area, that seems to be pretty protected, and we even went so far in this last year in the council to setting up an architectural control organization to make sure it stays that way. How does that affect the ability for downtown to get more vital?
Yeah, and I did support that, you know, having those historic downtown standards, so that when we get new development on our main street, that it looks similar to what's already there, so we have that maintain that feel of historic downtown. And I think that's very important. You know, there, I think we can go a little bit higher than the historic standards. That doesn't get too high, but is comparatively okay. And one of the things I did do, but in terms of what I proposed, was that we apply similar standards, not in terms of the historic nature, but some of those standards that we adopted had kind of pedestrian-friendly standards about the buildings being up next to the sidewalk, facing the sidewalk, and that sort of thing. And I wanted to apply similar standards to our Parkline Trail to make sure that our Parkline Trail has development along it that engages with the trail and makes that space feel very welcoming and enjoyable for anybody who's using Parkline Trail. Unfortunately, that's one of those ideas that I brought forward. Didn't gain a majority support, but those are the type of things that I like to propose on the city council.
One of the things that has come up in the past couple of years is the infrastructure in downtown, particularly the underground infrastructure. I'm speaking of the water mains, and everything. Are we closer to solving that problem?
Well, that's going to be work over time, of course. You know, I mean, as we do a little bit as we go, and hopefully over time you wind up replacing all those old mains and getting mm-hmm. to a place where we have more modern infrastructure in there. We did, of course, have a assessment, you know, looking at what our needs are over time, and we have a plan for our capital improvement projects for water and sewer. And, you know, unfortunately, we did raise water and sewer rates in the past few years to be able to pay for that infrastructure, to be able to maintain the service that we provide for the community. I think that's an essential part of city government, is to provide those essential services and make sure that they're maintained over time. There was an aspect of that where I was in opposition, in that we lowered at that time, this was in 2020, cut developer impact fees in half. And impact fees are fees that developers pay for their impact on city services. And in order to pay for that, when we are raising water and sewer rates by so much to pay for this needed infrastructure and the maintenance, we tacked on just a little bit extra to pay for that break for developers. And I voted against that. I felt that that was unnecessary and really not fair to the residents to have mm-hmm. to pay higher water and sewer rates to give developers a break on their impact fees.
Well, and think about the development of Main Street, which is something where is going to happen, because we're putting a hotel in, we're putting a parking facility in, we've got the Parkline Trail that's going to be developed. The old Gambles building, that sat there for years, you know, until the Togri came around. But to do that, they had to burrow underneath Main Street on the other side so they could get enough water to the place so they could have fire mm-hmm. protection. Mm-hmm. We have that problem here on First Avenue East. We have to burrow under First Avenue East to get it. The plans that I had heard were going to be moving these water mains, much, much larger movement of the alleys, so everybody would have access to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, one of the things, too, about having that infill development downtown, I mean, one that is going to help bring business and revitalize our downtown, having more people who are living within mm-hmm. walking distance of all our downtown businesses. But also it helps save taxpayer dollars, right? Because the maintenance of extending the infrastructure out to, you know, further far-flung developments on the edges of our community, it costs money. And the more you can have the development that occurs within our existing footprint and within the core area of our town is a savings for our taxpayers, because that infrastructure is already in the ground. We do have to maintain it, but it's not as expensive as more far-flung developments on the edges of our town.
You know, the sins of the father. We've got a lot of stuff underground in downtown Kalispell that we would not put underground now. Mm. We've got some brownfields funds that will help us to ameliorate such. How yeah. much, I mean, we've got places on Main Street that, you know, we've got stuff underneath the sidewalks that need to be cleaned up. Mm. Are we in a position at all to even begin starting to do that?
In terms of the brownfields, or
yeah. Mm-hmm.
yeah, so we have a great grant to clean up brownfields, and we've actually been great. You know, the city staff has been wonderful in terms of being able to get those grants and apply them to projects that clean up properties and get them available for redevelopment to revitalize areas. So we actually have a great track record at the city of being able to access those funds and turn around and clean up some properties.
All right. I've been asking all the questions here, and I want to let you have just kind of a free form of consciousness. Yeah. Ryan Hunter, you've been on the council for what? 4 years?
Almost 4 years now.
So you want four more?
Yeah.
All right, so you're on, man. Tell us why.
Yeah, well, so, I mean, as I said, you know, my top priority has been affordable housing and a homelessness crisis, and I've made a number of proposals on that, including that we adopt an affordable housing plan. You know, we plan for just about everything. We have a transportation plan, a water and sewer plan, a growth plan, and so on. What we don't have is a housing plan, and we should have one, right? We should identify strategies for how to increase affordable housing in our community and be able to move forward with that. So I want to see that on the city council. I've also made a proposal, actually very similar to, and actually kind of came off of the idea with the hotel development, because that's city-owned property. I said, well, you know, why are we doing this with with a private market, you know, based development project, they're going to make money, and they don't need kind of the free land, that sort of thing. Why don't we do the same kind of deal we did with a hotel, but work with nonprofit providers to allow the nonprofit providers to build income-based affordable housing on those vacant city properties in town? And if we hadn't subsidized the parking, we could have used some of those millions of dollars instead to as seed money for a project like that in partnership with the nonprofit providers. So that's another idea. One of the things I've proposed too is some further limitations on short-term vacation rentals to try free up some of those units for long-term renters, at least, you know, in terms of controlling the growth. We do currently have a 2% cap on short-term vacation rentals. In other words, 2% of our housing stock can be dedicated to short-term rentals. We're currently at 1%. One of the things I propose, if you look at a map of short-term rentals in our community, that 1%, a lot of them are concentrated actually in Ward 3. And I didn't feel like that was necessarily fair for my constituents, because I'm talking to some residents who are seeing three of their houses on their block turn to short-term rentals, which is in a way destabilizing to their neighborhood. And so I propose that we apply that 2% cap by ward or by neighborhood so that it's more equally distributed throughout the community. I think there's other things we can look at, maybe lowering that 2% closer to the 1% we're currently at. I understand that folks are earning income off this, and it's important for some folks. Certainly anybody who has short-term rental, they would be grandfathered in, and there'd be probably room for additional short-term rentals, but there would be some limits. So we don't see what some other communities see, where you get big out-of-state investors coming in, buying up a bunch of housing and converting them to short-term rentals, and therefore further worsening the supply issue on housing, which is a real crisis in our community.
Well, that's something they've got going on in Whitefish right now, and they're trying to backpedal on it and not getting very far.
Yeah. I mean, once that barn door is open, you know, it's kind of hard to close, right? And so we've been fortunate that we're not quite in the position that Whitefish is in. You know, like I said, it was only about 1% of our community so far. I don't want us to get to the point where Whitefish is in, where so much more of our units are in short-term rentals.
All right. Ryan, thanks for a great conversation, and we look forward to more as you continue through, and perhaps, and when you get reelected, you'll come in and talk to us more often.
All right. Great.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Ryan, thanks so much.
Yeah.